Sorry, I've got a bit of a croaky throat, so I sound slightly worse than usual. But anyway, hope you can put up with that. But it's good to be back, and obviously the church is growing, and it's lovely to see. We are actually going to move back. I'm retiring from church leadership after 28 years, and we are going to just support the work here. We hope to move sometime around Christmas time and be among you full time. I will be here hit and miss, really. I'm still officially the pastor. I think I'm still officially the pastor at Worthing. And we're just till the end of November. And then we'll be free to be totally free, really, to be back to be here. Amen. Now, I understand it that you're doing a series called The Victorious Christian Life. I know I heard, Pat's message last week. He was saying people were not talking about it as part of the series. Well, I want to say this morning to begin with that you cannot live a victorious Christian life unless you know the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's absolutely fundamental. So what I'm saying this morning is about the thing which will draw you into the whole series that we're talking about, the victorious Christian life. And as I say, the thing certainly I've found and others have found that the answer really to living a victorious Christian life is to know the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about what does that mean? So what is it? Well, we immediately talk about baptism. We've got to understand that baptism is an industrial word. It's a word for a big vat of boiling liquid. We dye in it. And the garment or whatever used to be baptized into the vat and it would come out a different color. That's what the literal meaning. It means to be totally immersed. So any idea that baptism means a sprinkling is false. It's not what the word means. It means to be totally immersed. So when we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about being totally immersed in God. Totally immersed in God. Now that's a pretty amazing concept in my thinking, to think about that. But that's what we're talking about. And probably you're aware that I suppose the most basic Christian doctrine is the fact that Jesus died for our sins. And he went to the cross. And because he died for our sins, we can come to him and know constant forgiveness. And it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can keep coming. We can keep coming to Jesus. And when we know we've done wrong things, we can come and say sorry and we can be forgiven on the basis of the cross. This is fundamental Christian truth. But I want to say to you that if you this morning went to the doctor with a splitting headache and he examined you and he said to you, after he's maybe done some tests, you know what, you've got a brain tumour. And if you then, he'll then say, well, actually what's needed is to cut that tumour out. That's what you need. You need something radical to happen. Now, you might say, yeah, okay, that's great. That's what I need. But in the meantime, you've got this blinding headache. And he'd say to you, why don't you just take some painkillers? And he'd prescribe you some strong painkillers to take away the pain. Now, the trouble with the pain, you say, well, you take the painkiller and it goes away for a little while and then the pain comes back. And you're not going to solve the pain until you take the tumour out. Well, I believe that's what we're like. If all we're doing is keep coming to Jesus for forgiveness, we're like someone that's taking painkillers for our sins. Rather than what we need is something more radical and fundamental, which is we need Jesus to come and take away our sin. It says two things. It says in, which one do I press? The right. Where do I point it? Yeah. Well, that's taking it off. I'm pressing the right. Oh, I don't know. Can you work it from the desk? Oh. So what are we talking about? John the Baptist says, I baptize with water, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And it also, John also says of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus come to take away our sin and not just keep forgiving us when we do wrong things. And we've got to realize that that's what we need. And to me, that's what the baptism of the Spirit does. It means Jesus, by his Spirit, comes to live within our hearts, and we have a power within us to overcome that thing within us called sin, that basic sinful nature that keeps cropping up, that causes us to commit sins, the things we have to keep being forgiven for. And Jesus doesn't want you to have to keep coming to him on a Sunday and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I've done this again, I've done this again, and be forgiven. He wants to take it away from you, where there's a new power at work within your life, which enables you to live as you, as like Jesus, and live as you ought to live. It's wonderful. And to me, it's through being baptized in the Holy Spirit that we're given power, so that's what I found, to live this Christian life as we know we ought to. And, you know, you might hear other expressions for this. Receiving the Spirit, the Bible might talk about. To me, it's the same thing. Receiving the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, they're the same things. But what we need is we need an experience of the Holy Spirit which deals with that within us which is of sin and gives us the power to live the Christian life. And in doing so, it incorporates us into God. It incorporates, we become part of the body of Christ. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. You know that word baptism again, saying, you know, we get thoroughly part of. He's not saying, oh, you come to the church on a Sunday and you're just an attender. It's saying, actually, we're part of the church. We're part of this family of God. And that's all worked by the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we've got to believe it this morning, that it's really necessary if we're really going to go on with God. Now, we can be baptized, we can be Christians and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I hope that's not a strange concept to you. But that's what I see in the Acts, because we see this story in the Acts where Paul goes to these believers. They'd received from the ministry of Apollos, a godly man, and he'd preached them, appears about Jesus. It says they were disciples. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say that Paul goes and prays for them and baptizes them in the name of Jesus, and then they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it seems that we can. And of course, it's confusing a bit because we have to believe that we need the Holy Spirit to bring us to Christ in the first place. We need the work of the Spirit. But you know, if you were to read your Old Testament, you'd read that the Holy Spirit came upon people and helped them to do things. But they weren't people, those people were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. That could only happen after Jesus had been to the cross and Jesus went back to heaven, and it says he poured out his Spirit upon the disciples after that time. So we see that the Holy Spirit is at work in you before you're baptized in the Spirit. He's at work in you maybe from the day you were born. But there comes a point where you need to say, actually, I need to be baptized. I need to be immersed in him. Not just touched by him, not just blessed by him because someone prayed for me and I was touched and my life was blessed, but I'm actually baptized into him. And this is the truth that I'm talking about this morning. Now, when we look at this subject, the time when it really started to happen was from the day of Pentecost. And remember, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. It was the beginning of the church. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, that's the disciples, with one that had been disciples of Jesus, were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the initial time of the disciples being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they had this tremendous supernatural experience. The Spirit came down and sat upon them, and they all spoke in tongues. They not just a language they couldn't understand, it was the language of the people that were there at the time. And these people that were there were the religious, really keen people. They were the conference junkies. They were the people that turned up at all the feasts. And because they were very zealous Jews and from different places. Some of them probably born Jews, some of them had converted Jews, but there they were in this place, wanting at the festival, the day of Pentecost, this great celebration. And it says the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, and then they each heard God speak in their own language through these disciples. Amazing experience, tremendous. You say, oh, well, that's it, that's what... If only we had that, we could all be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The truth is that God probably isn't going to do that for you. He didn't do it for me. And he probably won't do it for you. We're going to look at a little bit later how God works today. But this is the experience that the disciples had on that day. Tremendous experience. But you know, the question is, but I think the response that Peter then got up and preached, and the response that he called for, is the response that we need today if we are going to be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. This is the first thing. We go down to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It says this. The first thing he says to them is repent. Repent. That's the first thing. What does he mean by that? Well, of course, the word repent means to change your mind or change your actions, to turn around, literally. So what did they have to repent of? Well, the thing they had to repent of was the fact that they'd crucified Jesus. 7 weeks earlier, there'd been this same religious crowd calling out and shouting, crucify him, to Jesus. And here was Peter now preaching and saying, you can have this experience of God that we've just had. That's what he was saying. Repent, turn around. Now, you might say, well, okay, yeah, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not, I haven't stolen from my employer. And I haven't crucified Jesus. What have I got to repent of this morning? Well, the truth is, really, the thing we all need to repent of is the fact of our willfulness and selfishness. That we might not have physically cried, crucify Jesus, but you see, Jesus came to be the Lord of this earth. He came to be the Lord of every man and woman's heart. That's what he's made for. And every time you've said, no, I'll do it my way. You know what the most famous song, most popular song at funerals is these days? My way. I did it my way. It's the anthem, man's anthem of almost defiance. I'm going to do it my way. You know, like kids, you see it in your grandchildren. You know, you go to help them and say, no, I'll do it my way. I want to do it. And there's that sense where that's what we've done with God. We've said to him, I will do it my way. And whenever we say that, we are asserting ourselves against God. And that's what we're going to repent of. Because I know, and I know having, I was baptized in the Spirit 48 years ago. Been a Christian 50 years this year, 48 years ago. And I know that as I go on with God, and I've been a pastor for 28 years, I know I've become more and more dependent on the Holy Spirit. Not less. I've learnt more and more to say, Lord, I need you. I need you to work in me and through me. It's as though that's what I'm still learning it. And I believe we all have to come that way where we say, actually, I need you, God. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Holy Spirit, in my life, because he's come to live there. And he's come to rule and reign in our lives. And if we don't want him to rule and reign in our lives, we're not ready to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We'll still be in that place where we keep doing wrong things and coming to Jesus and say, please forgive me. I've got in my pocket a set of keys. Okay. See these keys? I'm going to throw them at Mark. Sorry, Alice. Okay. Now, Mark's got a lot of power now. He's got a big brick in his hand. That's the key to my new car. Mark's got power to go and drive. He can run out this house, this hall, and go and drive my car away. On that bunch is the key to my house. He could drive down to Worthing and steal all the stuff in my house. There's also the keys to the church in Worthing. He could go and steal all the stuff out the church in Worthing if there's anything to steal. He's got a lot of power, Mark. I've given him the keys to my house. And if you want to be baptized in the Spirit, you've got to be saying to God, Lord, you can have the keys to my heart, my life. Here are the keys. Now, you know, I tell you, Jesus will look after them. He will not come and do and steal your goods and leave you short. He always supplies everything you need. And that's the wonder of it, because he loves us. And I know Mark because he loves me. I think he does love me. I know that he wouldn't run off with my car. So I'm happy to give him my keys. But you see, you've got to be like with God. You've got to say, actually, I want you, Lord, to come and rule and reign in my life and give new power into my life. He's not going to come and take over and make you do stuff you don't want to do. That's not his heart. That's not the heart of love. And he's a spirit of love that's coming to you and saying, actually, I'm going to come. I'm going to help you live the best life you can live. But you've got to let me have power. You've got to let it be my power. If you just rely on that sinful nature of yours, you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to be victorious. You're going to be defeated time and time again. Sin's going to beat you. But you give your keys of your life to me, then I'm going to look after you, and I'm going to lead you and guide you and help you and all those things that you want. But you've got to give him the keys. You've got to chuck him the keys, just like I've chucked the keys to Mark this morning. Is that what you want to do? So you've got to repent. Repent of that selfish, stubborn attitude that says, I can do it. I'm Lord of my own life. Of course, that goes against everything you hear in the world. You've got to assert yourself. You've got to be the man. Let God make you the man. He does make you a man or woman of God. He does when you let the Holy Spirit come and rule and reign in your life. He makes you more of a man or woman than you could ever be by yourself. That's what he's come to do. Make you like Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You can be like Jesus. How are you ever going to be like Jesus unless the Holy Spirit has come to live within your heart and is you've let give him the keys of your life? For you, it'll be an issue maybe. For me, all those years ago, it was the fact that I could not sort my motives out. I realized I was a Christian for 2 years and I was trying to serve God, and I just couldn't. I realized that my motives were wrong. I was selfish, and I responded in a meeting, and a preacher said, you know, if you can't deal with your motives, stand up. So I did. And get your friend to pray for you. So my friend prayed for me. And then nothing happened. But 3-4 days later it did. God came. I knew Jesus in a way I'd never known him before. But anyway, that's my story. Your story will be something completely different. So that's the first, if you like, the first thing Peter said, repent. You've got to repent of that selfish attitude. The second thing he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now for us, you know, I know some of you got baptized a few weeks ago in that swimming pool over the concourse or whatever it is. And you see, it can be easy. You know, you've got a nice group of people, everyone's for you, nice warm swimming pool. But you know, to be baptized in some countries means you sign your death warrant, because it's such a big thing. And he realized that you have to mean it. Really, to be baptized means you mean it. You mean business with God. You really want him to come into your life. You don't just want to be on the outside. You want to be a God person. You want to be a Jesus person. I do. I really want to be a Jesus person. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be part of his family. I want to have brothers and sisters that love him. And you've got to say, actually, I'm prepared to go against maybe your natural family for that. They might not agree with you. They might hate you for it. All these things that come up. And he's saying, you know what? Baptism is serious. Just as baptism in the water is a picture of that baptism in the Spirit, where you're saying, actually, I want to fall into God. So he's saying, actually, do it. It's not something just do in your heart, something you almost have to make a public statement about, he's saying. And he says that if you're prepared to repent and prepared to be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's true today. That when we repent and we're prepared to make almost a public declaration that we want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, then he'll do it, and his Spirit will be poured out on us and in us. Okay then, I've got like three questions then to answer. The first one is this: how can you know if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? How can you know? Well, I think it's a bit like this. How can you, if God has come and filled your life, if God has come and the Spirit by Spirit and filled you, how can you not know that? How can you not know? I knew when I walked down that road in Bristol in 1974, I knew Jesus had filled my heart. I knew what he was like. He was love and he was holy. I knew, not because anyone told me, but I knew in here, he'd come. And I remember a year later going for a long, being quite down and going for a long walk along the beach. And I just came to the conclusion, there's something in God is in my heart. He was real. I couldn't get depressed, get a bit down, but not really low, not really rock bottom, because he was there. He'd come. You know if he's come. And if you don't know this morning, he hasn't come, I would say. Because you know, God's there. So that's the way I'd answer that question. And of course, when he comes, he brings gifts with him. He does. Maybe you have a gift of tongues or a gift of prophecy. I'm going to mention that a little bit later. But that's the point. He's come. Supernatural gifts will follow him coming. The second question is this: what to do if you realise you haven't received the Spirit? What are you going to do? You say, well, actually, what I'd need to do is shut myself in my room and just pray and wait for God to come. Well, that isn't necessarily a scriptural way. It might have been right for the disciples, because that's what Jesus told them to do, to go and wait for the Spirit to come. But when I read my Bible, like we read about those disciples in Ephesus that Paul went to, Gone the wrong way, have I? No. Hang on. He says, when Paul went to them, what did he do? He says he laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. My friend in Bristol laid hands on me, and 3-4 days later, the Spirit came into my life. The Apostle Paul himself had hands laid on him to receive the Spirit from Ananias. We've got to see that's normally the way we get baptized in the Spirit, is someone prays for us, lays hands on us. So that's what we're going to do. If people want to be baptized in the Spirit this morning, that's what we're going to do in our time of response. Because it's scriptural. Not there just for a blessing. You can come and be prayed for a blessing. But really, this baptism in the Spirit, it's through the laying on, it's generally through laying hands. God may meet you without anyone laying hands on you. So I'm not saying it has to be that way. The wonderful thing about God. And we talked about being baptized in water. I was baptized in the Spirit before I was baptized in water. So there's not a one way. It's just the principle. And I would say that be prayed for and then believe that God is going to do it. That's what the scriptural principle seems to be. So my third question and last question, although I've got four answers, is that what if you are prayed for and nothing has happened? You know, many people here they recognize what I'm talking about and they say, well, I was prayed for and yet I still don't feel God. I still don't sense God in my life. And I put four reasons why that could possibly be. The first one is unconfessed sin. Sin isn't a problem to God. Whatever you do, not a problem. Jesus died for our sins. And he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sin isn't the problem with God. The problem is when we refuse to acknowledge it. We refuse to acknowledge that we've got a problem. He can't do anything because he's not going to push his way into our lives. The Holy Spirit does not come to push his way into your life. He is a gentleman. He waits for you to say it, to let him. And he waits for you to confess your sin. He'll shine things up at times and you realize you've got to put something right. That's the way he works. But it's very gentle. The way of the Holy Spirit is gentleness, I've found. Like dew upon your heart that just sort of comes and rests there. And you're aware of him. But if you've got unconfessed sin, he's going to wait for you to confess it. And it may be that's what you've got to do. You've got to come and be honest about your life and say, actually, I know this is wrong. Please help me. Please deal with it. That's all you've got to do is just be honest about it. Sin is no... I know in the world, sin is a big issue. Do something wrong, that's it, you're written off. With God, it's not like that. With God, it's when you confess it, you can be free of it. That's all you need to do. You can be free of it. And so that's the first thing. Can be unconfessed sin. The second one is, the Holy Spirit has come to reach the nations for Christ. And not just to give us a nice feeling up our spine or something. Make you feel good about yourself. He hasn't come to do that. He's come that we can be, the church can be the body of people that are reaching the world for Christ. And he gives gifts to enable that to happen. He gives gifts of discernment. He gives gifts of prophecy. He gives gifts of being just knowing what to say, wisdom, knowledge, all these gifts. Yeah, he gives gifts of tongues that are for your own building up and edification. But he gives other gifts that you can reach others for Jesus. So isn't it, but if we're being selfish, oh, you know, poor old me, I'm having a bad time, oh dear. Well, he's saying actually, you know how I came to the conclusion I needed to be baptized in the Spirit? I'd fought against it. I was in a hospital bed, young man, and I was having a minor operation, but I was with these middle-aged men who were having like heart bypasses, and I realized that I could not reach them with what I had of God. It wasn't enough. It wasn't real enough. It was words. It's because I wanted to reach people for Jesus. And I realized I needed something more of God. And if we're going to be effective as a church, if we're going to be effective in our own lives, in reaching people for Jesus, we need the baptism of the Spirit. They all spoke in tongues, and they each heard the gospel in their own language. Amazing. But the gift of the Spirit is to reach people for Jesus. And if you're just being too about me, it's all about me, then maybe that's why the Holy Spirit is holding off. He's waiting for you to turn your eyes on Jesus and see what his calling is for your life, and that he wants to reach other people for him. So that's the second reason it might have been prayed for and nothing had happened. The third one is this, that we're times we have to persistently believe. It's interesting what a couple of people prayed in the meeting about: keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Because there is a sense where God at times requires us to keep going, to keep on trusting him, believing him. There's a story of Nicky Cruz. If you know Nicky Cruz, he was a very famous, he was a gang leader in New York. And he came to the Lord. The Lord met him through the ministry of David Wilkinson. And he was transformed. And he became almost an international speaker. Because, you know, everyone loves a great testimony of, you know, I was the worst person on the face of the earth, and God met me. But he said people, you know, he knew he had to seek God for the baptism of the Spirit. And, you know, he went around, he got prayed for, this person, that person, nothing happened. Nothing happened. For 3 years, he sought God to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And after 3 years, he was on the point of giving up. And that's when it happened. That's when God came into his soul. And yet, you know, he'd been transformed. You say, well, yeah, he had his sins forgiven, which were many. And you realise that at times we just got to believe. You know, my friend prayed for me in Bristol, and, you know, I didn't feel anything. He said, speak in tongues. I said, well, all right, I'll try. I just thought, oh, I'm making that up. And nothing happened. And he just said, well, just keep believing. I kept believing. And say 3 or 4 days later, walking down the road, bang, God came. We've got to believe that God, that when we're prayed for, God wants to fill us. And that's his will. His will is that maybe we've got to go through stuff. Maybe we've got to learn stuff. I don't know, along the way, before we're ready. But the important thing is that we believe that God wants to do it for us, and we don't give up. So that's it. Prayed for, nothing happened, forget it. Not true. Don't do that. Keep believing. Keep persistently believing. You know, it goes on to say, doesn't it? If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he not give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We're coming to our loving heavenly Father. He wants to baptize you in his Spirit. He wants to. And so at times, though, we have to keep asking. You know, it's not Christmas yet. Like the kids, you know, they want everything today. And you've got a time to say, well, no, you've got to wait. Part of, and at times we have to go through times when we just have to believe and trust God. Certainly we've had a year of that in our lives. And the last thing about that may stop us, I mean, there are probably others, but these came to me, is that we can be fearful of receiving. Fearful. We think, actually, if I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to turn weird. people are going to think I'm some, you know, I'm going to turn to a robot, or I'm going to turn, you know, I'm going to do stupid things and jump up and down in inappropriate places and all the rest of it, because the Spirit will take me over. Let me tell you, He's not like that at all. He's not like that at all. As I say, I believe He's gentle. I believe He comes to us, and the biggest thing He brings into our hearts is the love of God. I woke up in the middle of the night, as I often do, and I couldn't get back to sleep. I started to pray, and I realized that I was quite nervous about today. And so I prayed, Lord, you know, give me, help me. And anyway, and a thought came to me, and it's like the Lord spoke to me 2 or 3 weeks ago about, you're just called to be broken bread. That's all you are, broken bread, poured out wine. That's what we are as the body of Christ. You're not called to perform, to be successful, whatever. We're just called to be poured out for others. And I thought, yeah, okay, Lord, it doesn't matter if I mess up. It doesn't matter if I'm no good. It doesn't matter if everyone thinks I'm no good. I'm just going to be poured out wine and broken bread. People can eat me. This is me this morning. This is what I believe. You know, that's me. And you know what? When I did that, the love of God came in my heart. I sensed the love of God again afresh, whereas I've been a bit tense, maybe. And you know, I slept to 7:10, which is remarkable for me, isn't it? Amazing. The love of God had come. God, that's what He's come to do. He's come to be love. You know, I love that those scriptures in Romans where it talks about, you know, tribulations and perseverance. And then it says, and the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The greatest gift He comes to bring is the love of God. Well, we know we're loved. And we all need to know that fundamentally above everything else. It makes everything else work. Makes our faith work. And you know, if you're fearful this morning that God's going to somehow, you know, take you over, don't be fearful. He's only come to love you. He's only come to bring His grace upon you, that you can be more of a man or woman than you've ever been in the past. Because He's going to make you like Jesus. And Jesus was the most wonderful man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And the one, you know, he wasn't just an amazing man, was he? He was just unbelievable. But I know He loves me. And the Holy Spirit's come to reveal the love of God to you, that God loves you this morning. Not just because it says so in the Bible, like we used to sing in Sunday school, but because He's come into your heart. Now, I don't know where, you know, a lot of you no doubt have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But this is for all, it says. Peter finishes his sermon by saying, this is for all, for you, your children, and all that are far off, this experience of being baptized in the Spirit. So it's not just for the spiritual people like Jim Bailey or Norman Dix, old friends of mine that are here this morning. But it's for everyone. This is for you this morning. This is God wants to come and fill your life with His Spirit. Enable you to live a life that you couldn't even imagine. And He says it's for you this morning. For you. Each of us, some of us, I say, have received this in the past. Maybe we got a bit crudded up. You know, it's what happens, isn't it? We get caked by the world and we get a bit stopped. You know, as I said to you, that little experience of mine in the middle of the night, what happens, you know, tension comes in and we just have to come to a places of, Lord, thank you. Thank you, you love me. And we can know that experience of fresh, of being filled with the Spirit. We're going to sing. If Enoch comes up, I've asked Enoch to sing a song. Oh, no, he's not going to sing a song. Are you on your own, are you?